Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Boy Effect. I'm your host, Penny Jean. And a quick shout out to Star FM 95.1, the heart of New York. Thank you, Charlie, for this evening's simulcast. And today, for the first time ever here in almost 4 years, transgender, the question on the table, why do they get bullied so much? And to help us out with this, is the one and only Alexander Reese. Alexander, welcome to the Bully Effect.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I am doing well today, Penny. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. And this subject is so near and dear to you personally. Introduce yourself to our listeners.
My name is Alexander Reese. I am 20. I live in Union, Missouri, and I am a female-to-male transgender.
Okay, and this is why it's so personal to you. And I would like to, first of all, thank you for taking the time out of your day to come on to the Bully Effect.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm very honored.
Yes. My first question for you, may I call you Alex?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Alex, my first question for you is, when did you know you were meant to be a male?
I was about 3 years old.
Okay.
I knew.
Did you get a lot of, negative or positive feedback from your family?
Well, the kind of funny part about that is that the only person that knew was my father. And he kind of just went along with it. And I had went up to him initially and told him that I wanted to be a boy. And I told him that I wanted to wear little boy clothes. And so he took me to Walmart and he bought me, Superman underwear and all that good stuff. And I never told anybody else though until I hit my teenage years. And it was interesting growing up that way because, you think there's something wrong with you. And it wasn't until I hit 13 that I realized what transgender really was. So, because for the longest time, I thought I was crazy because, I would look at my sisters and realize that I was not a girl. And so it was very difficult. And not, on the other side of that, I grew up, my parents got divorced when I was 8 years old. So that was really hard. And so I didn't tell anybody even then because that was just, wrong place, wrong time. So, it was kind of rough, to say the least.
Yeah, I would say I can only imagine, but I really can't you know, because only you would know what you have gone through and what you're still going through.
Yeah, it isn't fun. it has its victories and it has its downsides as well. You know, a lot of my family, when I came out, they really weren't too keen on it because my entire life I had lived as a girl and feeling this way on the inside. And so it was never really an outward thing until I turned 13 and started cutting my hair off and I stopped wearing, you know, I guess you could say girly clothes.
Right.
So, you know.
Now, even myself as I was growing up, you know, and a lot of people might have, when they looked at you younger than 13 years old, they might have viewed you as a tomboy. Okay,
it's funny that you say that because actually I used to wear a lot of, I used to wear little dresses and skirts and stuff when I was little, and I think that was me trying to please my family because, you know, when you're, you know, 6, 7 years old and you know that this is how you feel on the inside, you are afraid. You know, you think that there's something wrong with you. Not to mention I grew up in a Christian home. And that made it really difficult because you go to church on Sunday and you hear all these things about, you know, the homosexuality and all these things, and you become afraid of who you are. And they didn't talk about that sort of thing in church.
No. Yeah, back then that was kind of taboo for anybody to talk about. You know, everybody was afraid of the word, you know, gay or lesbian or bisexual or even transgender. Nobody talked about it.
Exactly. And as far as, you know, gay, lesbian, and bisexual, you know, that's becoming more accepted. But the really, I guess you could say, sad part about being transgender is that it's not. And I guess it really depends on where you're at as well, because I live in the Bible Belt. And that is really, really, really rough. it's not fun, to say the least, because they you get a lot of weird looks and questions that you necessarily don't want to answer. And so, you know, and where I live in a very rural community, very Christian community. Mm-hmm. And so the thing about that is that it's okay for them to make fun of you because you're gay or, you know, lesbian or transgender, and nobody, they look the other way and they don't do anything about it. And I think that's really scary, because being out is really scary in an area like that.
I am probably going to be one of the very few that you're going to hear say this, okay? Which we have been Facebook friends and family. I'm going to go ahead and say family. On Facebook for quite a while now, okay? And you are aware that I am a youth pastor. And being so, I am going to tell you this, that is not okay.
Right.
Period.
Right. I agree with you.
You know, and I guess I, go ahead.
No, you're fine. I agree with you.
Yes, because, you know, I guess I would be called a rebel Christian. You know, because it just blows my mind how a Christian could be mean to anybody. It's just, it's heartless and it's hypocritical.
And to be frank, it's very heartbreaking.
Yes.
You know, when your own family throws you away or disowns you or, you know, tells you you're going to hell. And, you know, in my honest opinion, Jesus didn't act that way. No. He ate with the liars and the beggars and the tax collectors and the prostitutes, and you know, he didn't care where you were from or what you were like or if you were gay or Jewish. He didn't care. He loved you
right.
anyway, and I think that that's what they've forgotten.
Yeah, I think a lot of godly people out there forgot the word godly, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know what a lot of Bibles out there that they're reading say, but my Bible says, judge not. And love
mm-hmm.
your neighbors
be judged
like
first.
God loves you. Yes, and
mm-hmm.
love your neighbors like God loves you.
Exactly, because he first loved
you. Exactly, right.
And,
so being
I'm not even
is,
a Christian anymore, so I think that's kind of funny that I and I know that.
Well, let you know I love you anyway.
mm-hmm. No, I know.
We have a caller calling in, so I'm going
sure.
to bring the caller live. Hi, you're live on the Bully Sex.
Hi, is Jenny?
Yes, I'm here.
I said, hi, is this Jenny?
Yes, this is Penny.
Hey, Penny, this is Jeffrey. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time, huh?
Yes, it has. How you been?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Do you
good.
Have a question for our guest here, Alex? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and ask you my next question, Alex, being that this
sure.
is the Bully Effect.
Sure.
What, I mean, you have been bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, could
yes.
you share maybe one or two of the worst that you have gone through?
Okay. I think one of the more general experiences I went through as a child was, it seems kind of insignificant to some of the things I deal with today, but I had glasses, really, really big
mm.
glasses as a kid, and they used to call me Four Eyes. And that stuck, that really stuck with me because I felt like they couldn't see me for who I was rather than my
mm.
outward appearance. And that was really difficult until I got contacts. But
mm-hmm.
I think being transgender, it brings in another type of bullying.
Right.
Because we're seen as, you know, freaks and not normal. And, you know, that we're doing this for attention and, you know, other things like that. And one of the worst experiences I dealt with being trans was I was beaten up in a bathroom
mm.
at the supermarket at Walmart. So I don't remember what he looks like. I don't remember his name. He didn't tell me. But there was a man in the male bathroom, and he, when I walked into the bathroom, I didn't say anything. I didn't, you know, I didn't think anything was going to happen to me. And he laughed at me. And I was like, you know, what's up with you, dude? And he called me, excuse my language, but he called me a faggot.
Mm.
And I just kind of, you know, brushed it off and didn't say anything. And, you know, went and did my business, and I was washing my hands. And he laughed at me again. And I looked at him, and I said, what's so funny? And he said, you know, anybody that uses that sink after you is going to turn gay.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you know, because I'm a bit of a smart ass. And I said, well, what's the problem with that? And he took me by my shirt collar and he shoved me against the bathroom wall. And unfortunately for me, my chest binder had slid up my shirt
mm-hmm.
and he could feel my chest underneath. And he looked at me funny, and I was trying to, you know, kind of play it off. And he said, are you one of those chicks that thinks they're a guy, that wants to be a guy? And I really didn't say anything because I was freaking out. And he said, you just want male privilege. Is that it? You're just a lesbian that likes to bind her chest. And I said, no, if you must know, I'm transgender. And he said, oh, you're one of those freaks. And he punched me in the stomach. And then he dropped me to the floor. And I was trying to get back up, and he kicked me in the side of my head. And he said that he would, quote, have sex with me like the bitch that I was, meaning female. And then he left. He spit on me, and he left. And I don't remember what he looked like. I don't remember his face. All I remember is that after I got home that night, I cried, and I swore to myself that I would never use another male bathroom as long as I lived. And it took a really long time to come to terms that it was not my fault, but right. that it was his for being so hateful and for being so judgmental to someone who didn't even know him. And now I use the male bathroom, and I'm not afraid of it anymore, but it did make it really hard because that was just, it was kind of traumatizing to say the least, because it was just, you don't think that people are going to be so hateful to someone they don't even know. And then it dawns on you that that's the way the world is. And it's pretty sad.
I am so sorry you had to go through that. So sorry.
It's all right. I had to go through therapy with it, and I still see my therapist. And I learned that being transgender is not only freeing, it's also dangerous. And I don't think we're at the point in society yet where they think it's okay to be out.
Right.
Because, like, with the things with Caitlyn Jenner, you know, everybody's making fun of her and, you know, calling her names and still calling her Bruce. And, you know, that just really gets under my skin, because I think she's a wonderful woman. And I think that we should respect who she is now, just because if we can't, you know, and a lot of the divide is coming from the trans community as well. There's a lot of divide about Caitlyn, which I think is really sad, because if we are divided in our own community, in the trans community, then how do we expect to show people that we are strong in this if we can't support
right.
someone else? Because I think that even though Caitlyn had money, she still has her own struggles, and she's having her struggles broadcasted all over the news. You know,
yeah.
that's got to be rough all in itself. You know,
right.
that can't be fun, because you're having everybody watch your every move and everything you do. And, you know, so I think that being trans in the public eye would also be very rough. You know, it's, and I don't think she has it easy at all.
You would think being in the public eye like that, Caitlyn Jenner would have it a little bit more rough than somebody,
mm-hmm.
say, like yourself, you know, because she
right.
is in that public eye.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, I agree with you, because I see it all over Facebook all the time, people making fun of her and making cool jokes about her and, you know, refusing to call her Caitlyn. And, you know, it's just, it's honestly really heartbreaking, because, you know, she did touch on this herself, and she did say that she can handle it, because they're
right.
going to call her whatever they want. But the kids that, you know, in my generation and younger that are coming out as transgender shouldn't have to deal with that. And the sad part is we still are.
Right, right. Well, I will give her props. She's got a good sense of fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. mm-hmm. But my next question, as we are talking about transgender and the, you know, the ones that are around your age are younger, what advice would you give to somebody who wants to become male to female or female to male? What advice would you give them?
Some of the best advice I ever gave myself is basically let yourself have bad days. You know, don't hold things inside when things hurt. Because, you know, when I came out to my family, it was really scary because my family are Republican and Christian Baptist people. And so I already knew how they felt about that. And originally I was out from December of 2013 until March of last year. And because of my family, a lot of my family no longer speaks to me. And that's been kind of hard to deal with. But I think that it was because of that, and I was afraid to lose my family, that I went back in the closet. And that was really, really hard, because for an entire year, I tried to convince myself that as long as I had my family in my life, I could be happy in the wrong body. And the best advice I can give them, the younger kids and the kids that are just now coming to terms with who they are, don't let anybody tell you who you are, because only you know, and only you can tell yourself that. And I think that letting somebody tell you who you are is going to be the one thing that pushes so many kids back in the closet. And who wants to be in the closet anyway? It's stuffy and icky in there.
Yeah, stuffy, icky, dark. Yeah, we don't like stuffy,
it is.
Icky, and dark.
No.
Places.
No. And, you know, and I, when I came back out the second time, it was just really, it was freeing, but it was also scary. Because I didn't know what I was walking into, definitely the second time. But I'm really glad that I did come back out, because I don't think I'd be sitting here talking to you if I hadn't.
Right.
Bullying
and
is a serious situation. Sorry, bullying is a serious situation. You know, gays and blacks and, you know, all get picked on about that. You know, kids, like you said, wearing glasses gets picked on, you know. It is a serious situation majorly in this world. And I don't know if there's a way to stop it or not stop it. You know, me and Penny this is a real nightmare for me and Penny, because we actually started this basically together, and it was her idea to start this, and I followed along with her. So it's good to be able to hear Penny's voice and be able to talk to her again, because we actually started this together, but it was her ideal about this whole issue. But it is a serious situation, you know, because like I said, I see a lot of my local news here in West Virginia, gay people getting beat up and bullied around, or blacks getting beat up and all that, especially in Mississippi. It's a major, serious situation in this world, and somebody's going to have to put a stop to it, but, you know, they have to make those laws to do it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, somebody once told me that if I get angry, it won't do anything. And the sad part about that statement is that if we don't get angry and stand up for ourselves and say we've had enough, it's never going to change. Nothing's ever going to get better. Not just for the trans community, but for as bullying in general. It's never going to get better, and it's not going to get easier. It's only going to get worse. And I think because, like, one topic that somebody had talked to me about with this is that I had brought up the fact that with gay marriage, you know, with marriage equality, they stood up and said, we want equal rights. We want to be able to marry our partners just like you can. And for 200 years, they fought tooth and nail. They got bullied, they got beaten up, they got murdered, they got spit on, you know, called names. And now we can say that we can marry whoever we want to, because they got angry and they did something about it.
Exactly. Well, first of all, Alex, I want to say these words to you. I am proud that you had the courage to come on to the radio show and to be proud of who you are.
Well, thank you.
I'm very proud of you. And if anybody bullies you in any way, you know, you do have a very close connection to the anti-bully diva.
Mm-hmm.
I'll set them straight for you. But thank you once again. Thank you for being a guest on the show. We are about out of time. So any final thoughts, Alex, you would like to say to our listeners?
You know, basically about if anybody that's listening has, you know, family members or a son or a daughter that is transgender, you know, the worst thing you could do is try to tell them that they're not who they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just be understanding and listen, because while it may be hard for the family members, it's really hard for the person that's dealing with all of this and the dysphoria and saving up money for surgery and hormones and, you know, basically just be understanding and loving and don't push them away. Because I think one of the things that pushes trans people to suicide is unsupportive family. And so I think the best thing you can do is just be there for them and listen and don't, you know. So I think that's what I would say to them.
Okay. And I would like to thank the caller, long time no hear, for calling in again with the Bully Effect, and I hope that you stick around a lot more often. And I would like to thank all the listeners for tuning in to this evening's episode of the Bully Effect. Stay tuned for tomorrow, where our guest will be Stephen Lewis. We're going to get him back here on the Bully Effect. And I just want to say, from my final thought, it doesn't matter who you are. It does not matter who you want to be. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, what religious background you have. It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, we are all human and we should be treated as such. Okay, everybody, y'all have a wonderful evening, and remember, do not be a victim. Be a voice. And make your voice loud. This is Penny Jean, and you've been listening to Blog Talk Radio's The Bully Effect. Good night.